Chapter 22. Tim slapped Cooper lightly on his huge gray cheek.
Cooper, wake up!
Without waking, Cooper yawned, grabbed Tim one-handed around the waist, and tossed him away as if he were a doll. He turned over, smacked his lips a couple of times, and resumed snoring.
Damn it, Cooper, wake up!
Said Tim, rising to his feet and dusting himself off. He stomped back toward Cooper and gave him a swift kick in the ass.
Hey, fuck off,
Cooper barked.
Can't a guy get any sleep? Show some fucking consideration.
He sat up, eyes wide open.
Hey, where'd all the soldiers go?
He looked around.
Why are we all dead?
I think I may have just bought us a ticket home, said Tim.
Everyone gathered around Tim, speaking at once.
What?
How?
What happened back there?
Tim picked up the severed head and placed it on the back end of the wagon, where it was low enough for him to reach.
Hey, Mordred, you in there? How are you feeling?
The head came wearily to life.
Cold, it said.
Cold?
Said Cooper.
It's in the middle of summer, and you're on the Gulf of fucking Mexico. How could you possibly be cold?
You sneaky son of a bitch, said Dave, laughing and punching Tim in the arm. Popsicles indeed.
One by one, the light of understanding shone on everyone's faces. Everyone, that is, except for Chaz.
What the hell are you guys talking about? What do popsicles have to do with anything?
Dave answered.
Tim lured Mordred into the freezer by mentioning he had popsicles in there.
Chaz looked less than satisfied with this explanation, so Dave continued.
The freezer door only opens from the outside.
He's locked in the chicken freezer?
Yep, said Tim. The indoor latch is broken. Major safety hazard.
Wait a second, said Mordred. If the latch is broken, didn't you say getting me out of here would be a piece of shit?
Piece of piss, corrected Tim.
That means it's easy, right?
Incredibly easy.
So what do I do?
Bring us home, and I'll open the door.
The head on the wagon closed its eyes.
I can't bring you back.
Look, said Tim testily, I appreciate your dedication to the game, but it's time to concede defeat.
No, said Mordred. I mean, I really can't. Not without the dice.
What dice? Asked Catherine. What's he talking about? The dice he used to send us here, said Tim. Wait, you did roll a die, didn't you? No. I didn't roll any fucking die. He threw a rock at me and I threw it back at him.
Tim rolled his eyes.
Did the rock have 20 sides? How should I know? I didn't stop to count them.
Excuse me,
the head on the wagon shouted, silencing everyone else.
The dice are on the table up front. I can't get to them from here, and I can't get you back home until I get those dice. Think of another way.
Dude,
said Cooper.
Sounds like you're fucked.
Tim,
the head pleaded.
I swear my mother's soul, man. If you tell me where the latch is, I promise to bring you and your friends back here right away.
It's not a question of whether or not I believe you, said Tim. I don't, incidentally. But I'm being perfectly honest with you. There's no latch. It's broken. Maybe a customer will come in tomorrow morning, and you can bang on the door and hope they hear you.
Mordred sighed through chattering teeth.
I locked the front door.
Well, said Tim, then it looks like Cooper's pretty much spot on. You're fucked.
Come on, man,
the head shouted.
This isn't fucking funny anymore. I'm fucking freezing to death in here. I've learned my lesson. Just let me out.
The pauses in his voice suggested that he was pounding on the freezer door as he shouted those last three words. The head closed its eyes and started crying.
Shit, said Julian. That's a hell of a way to go. Good for him, said Catherine. The fucker deserves it.
Nobody deserves that, said Julian.
Chaz took Tim by the elbow and nodded his head off to the side. Tim willingly followed him. The rest of the group followed as well.
Dude, said Chaz in a tone just above a whisper, I don't want to come off as, like, insensitive or whatever, but if he dies in that freezer, what's going to happen to us?
We'll definitely lose our business license, said Tim.
Nobody laughed.
Honestly, I don't know.
I know,
said Catherine.
You know what? Asked Tim.
I know what'll happen when Mordred dies, she said. We'll be stuck here for good.
But if Mordred's not there to run the game, who runs it? Asked Chaz.
She's right, said Dave. I remember Mordred said something about that in the woods. If he's not around, the game goes on autopilot or something.
That's right,
said Cooper.
I remember. He said he's been the one controlling our encounter so far, which is why we've been fighting leopards and ants and shit. But when he's gone, there's no telling what we'll run into out in the wilderness.
Tim looked around. They were still in the grass near the road and had a wide range of vision in every direction. But forests were visible off in the distance on both sides, and they suddenly looked a lot darker and more uninviting.
Well, then I guess we'd better get out of the wilderness, said Tim.
Come on, guys,
the head on the wagon called out, making everyone jump.
Don't let me die in a freezer. I'm so cold, so fucking cold.
What should we do with him?
Asked Dave. Tim answered.
I don't think we should bring him to... What's the city called? The one we're headed to?
Cardinia, said Julian.
Yeah, I don't think we should bring him there.
But we need him, said Catherine. What if he thinks of a way to bring us back? What if we think of a way to get him out of the freezer?
Fuck getting him out of the freezer,
said Cooper.
If he gets out, he's not going to bring us back.
How do you know?
Asked Catherine.
Would you?
Of course I.
I meant if you were him,
said Cooper.
He knows that the second we come back, we're going to beat the shit out of him. Anyway, he's a sad little fuck who gets off on having power over other people. Soon as he got out, he'd just laugh at us and send a bunch of shit out to fight us.
But if it's our only chance to get back home,
Catherine argued. Mordred can talk to us from anywhere and by whatever means he likes, said Tim.
Be it a horse, a mosquito, or some random asshole on the street. We've just been given a clean slate with the law of this land, and I don't think it's wise to go marching into one of its largest cities with a severed human head in our bag.
So you just want to leave it here?
We'll bury it. Cooper, can you dig a hole?
Yeah,
said Cooper, his voice uncharacteristically somber.
No problem.
After a few strokes of his axe into the thick green grass, he lifted out a chunk of earth that they could have buried an entire body under. Tim walked over to the head.
Mordred?
Moist eyes looked dolefully at him.
I'm truly sorry you're going to die in my freezer. I genuinely thought you would be able to bring us back, and that this was the only way to force your hand. You didn't leave me any choice.
He waited for a response, but the head just stared back at him coldly, its teeth chattering.
We're going to bury this head, so it's probably time to find a new conduit if you think of any ideas.
The eyes in the head grew heavy. They lost the coldness in their stare and succumbed to exhaustion.
I've tried everything,
it said, the words broken by a yawn.
Damn it, Mordred, said Tim. Did you go away again? How long were you gone?
Hours,
it said. The eyes in the head struggled to stay open.
It's probably sometime in the morning now. It's all over. I'm sorry I put you guys through this.
Come on, Mordred, said Tim, slapping the head on the cheeks. Wake up! You know the chicken in there is pre-cooked. I mean, it's frozen and probably tastes pretty shitty, but it's okay to eat.
The head wheezed a hollow laugh.
I know. I've eaten a box of it already. Not bad.
Catherine started sobbing. She dropped to her knees and buried her face in Butterbean's fur.
If you run into any of the others,
the head said wearily,
let them know I'm sorry too.
What others? Demanded Tim. Who are the fucking others?
He sent people here before, said Dave. We can talk about this later. Let's just get this done.
I'm going to go to sleep now,
said Mordred, yawning.
And I don't think I'm ever going to wake up again. Good luck, guys.
The eyelids slowly closed, and the head's breathing became soft and steady. A whirlwind of reality hit Tim all at once. He grabbed the head by the ears and shook it.
Wake the fuck up, man! He shouted. We need you to get us the fuck out of here! We don't fucking belong here!
Cooper's giant hand gripped Tim's arm, gently but firmly, until he stopped shaking the head. Once again, it was just a cold and lifeless hunk of flesh and a bone.
Let him go, man. You did the best you could.
With his other hand, he removed the head from Tim's grasp and tossed it unceremoniously into the hole.
Should we say something? asked Julian, cradling Ravenous in his arms. All eyes immediately went to Dave.
What?
Asked Dave, taking a step back.
You're a cleric, said Julian. Guys, I'm just fucking Dave. I haven't been to fucking seminary. I haven't taken any fucking vows. Fuck. No, I don't want to say anything.
Chaz? Said Julian. A song, maybe?
All I've got on me right now is a White Snake song that will help us all fight a little better. I don't know if it's appropriate for this.
Fine, said Julian. Let's just cover him up. Coop?
Cooper covered the hole and patted the earth on top of it. Tim looked up at Cooper with tears in his eyes. His sister's crying had caught hold of him.
What are we going to do?
Cooper stood up. He spoke confidently and authoritatively.
We're going to grab our shit, go into that town, find the nearest tavern, get shit-faced drunk, and then see how things look in the morning.
Tim smiled through his tears and nodded. He looked around. One by one, the rest of the group nodded as well. Catherine wiped the tears from her eyes. The setting sun cast a pink light across the evening sky, dotted with purple, wispy clouds, as the friends walked together in silence toward the city of Cardinia. The End. This has been Critical Failures, written by Robert Bevan, narrated by Jonathan Sleep. Copyright 2012, Robert Bevan. Production copyright 2014 by Saturn 5 Sound.